Good morning.
Good morning.
What a large crowd we have here today, Travis. Can we keep them till probably 12:15, 12:30, you think? What a beautiful Sunday morning we have. I know that a lot of Sunday mornings over the last few months have been dreary and rainy, but all you got to do is look outside today and see another wonder of our Lord, because rain was a wonder as well. But thank you for being here. Thank you so much for being here. And the first thing we're going to do this morning is we're all going to stand up, some fast and some slow. Justin, it's okay. And I'd like for you to look around and see all the folks that just turn around and see how many people are here. Turn around and wave at each other and say, hello, good morning. And one other thing, say, God loves you.
God loves you.
And God loves me.
God loves me.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. So we have a song that we're going to sing this morning that we all know, Marvel Lee. And so I want to hear you sing out loud.
Church. If you're a first-time visitor, we'd like for you to fill out a card that's in front of the pew in front of you and leave it in the collection plate in the vestibule. We've got a few announcements to make here. First of all, the search committee for the pastor will be meeting right after this service back in the choir room. And those members are, and they would probably like to have your opinion on things as they progress, is Don Roush, Barbara Hickman, Travis Corley, Sherry Naylor, and Tabby Myers. Also this week, on 5:30 on Monday, there's a finance committee meeting. On March 10th, Wednesday, mission night. March 24th, business meeting. Saturday, March 27th, Easter egg hunt, and of course on the 28th of March is Palm Sunday. Also this Wednesday is a Experiencing God Bible study at 6:30. At this time, let us pray. Our most gracious and all-powerful Heavenly Father, we come today with humble hearts, first to thank you for all the blessings you provide for us, next, to let you know that we are all your children to praise you, respect one another, and spread your word to others. Last, we ask your forgiveness of our sins and recognize that our salvation only comes through Jesus Christ. Watch over, care for us, and provide for us. In thy name we pray. Amen.
Our first hymn this morning is Let's Just Praise the Lord. I'm going to ask everybody to stand, please. And the music is up here.
Thank you. The title of the song is Wonderful, Merciful Savior. And I looked up the definition this morning of Savior, actually yesterday. And it said, one who delivers another from danger or imminent destruction. How wonderful. The song says that he's the precious redeemer. He's our friend. And who would have thought a lamb could rescue the souls of men? He has done just that. And it says, faithfully loving your own, here in our weakness you find us. And I found that if we turn to him in our weakest of moments, when the time we think we're going to give up, he shows up. He will bless your soul. Look to Jesus. He's our answer. Pray for me. Wonderful, merciful Savior, precious Redeemer and friend. Who would have thought that a lamb could rescue the souls of men? Oh, you rescue the souls of men. Counselor, Comforter, Keeper, Spirit we long to embrace. You offer hope when our hearts have hopelessly lost the way. Oh, we've hopelessly lost the way. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You give the healing and grace our hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger for. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You give the healing and grace our hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger for. Almighty, infinite Father, faithfully loving your own. Here in our weakness you find us, falling before your throne. Oh, we're falling before your throne. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You give the healing and grace our hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger for. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You give the healing and grace our hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger
morning. It is indeed great to see such a great crowd here this morning, especially our visitors. And just a couple of clarification announcements. This Wednesday will be Missions Night, so the Experiencing God Bible Study will resume a week from Wednesday. This Wednesday will be Missions Night. And if you have not picked up a book or would like a book for Experiencing God, please let me know and I will order you one. Before I get started in the message this morning, it's a very special day today for Jerry and Kay Holt. Today is their 57th wedding anniversary, and the flowers in front of me are in honor of their anniversary today, placed by their daughter. Also this week, on Thursday, March the 11th, Ray and Emily Johnson will be celebrating 59 years of marriage, so we congratulate both of these wonderful couples. This morning, I will be reading from Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. If you want to turn there, it will be a little bit before I get into that scripture. I will actually be making reference to several scriptures, so if you like to take notes, just know that I'll be referencing several different scriptures in my message. A few weeks ago, one Saturday morning, I went to the carpenter shop, just browsing around down the street, and I was drawn to a picture I saw there. They had a table in front of the door, and the words on the picture read, "From this day forward." And when you hear the words, the phrase, "from this day forward," you might think of a wedding ceremony, a man and wife joining their lives together. But that wasn't the case when I looked at this particular picture. The image to the right of the words, "from this day forward," altered that mindset. For you see, the image to the right of the words, "from this day forward," wasn't a bride and groom, but rather it was a church. This is the picture I saw there at the carpenter shop. And as I continued to ponder the phrase, "from this day forward," in the image there, I imagined a similar picture, but different than the one there on display at the carpenter shop. The picture I imagined was none other than the sanctuary that we have gathered in here this morning. That is the very house of God that we have gathered to praise and worship the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the Savior of the world, our Heavenly Father. This is the picture I imagined. And I thought to myself, church, what will "from this day forward" look like for us as Christians and also for us collectively as the body of Christ? And admittedly, a number of thoughts have run through my mind since I first saw this picture a few weeks ago. So with that in mind, I pose the same question to each of us here this morning. What will "from this day forward" look like for each of us in our Christian journey, but also collectively as the body of Christ here at Tranway Baptist? And you may be sitting there thinking, well, that's an open-ended question. Or perhaps you're thinking there could be a number of accurate answers to that question. But the truth is, church, it's a short and simple answer to the question. Now, if anyone here is familiar with the UNC School of Government or the instructor, Ms. Norma Houston, you would be very familiar with the answer. Because the short and simple answer is, it depends. It depends on us. What this day forward will look like depends on each one of us here, you and me. So that being said, I have a question for you this morning. In fact, I have a $64,000 question for you. You may not have had one of those lately. But I wonder, are we ready for the question? And here it is. How's your love life? How's your love life? That's right. I just stood here behind the pulpit and perhaps asked the most personal question you have ever been asked in church before. Don't look at your spouse. Don't look at the person sitting to the right of you, because you might get in trouble with your spouse. But look within. The truth is, church, only you can answer that question for yourself. Your spouse nor anyone else can answer the question for you. How's your love life? The truth is, church, is merely a question each one of us have to answer for ourselves individually. And so it is, depending on how we answer that personal question, will determine a more accurate or a more complete answer, if you will, to what this day forward will look like for you as a child of God, but also for us collectively as a body of Christ. In Deuteronomy 3:20, we read, "Hold fast to him, for the Lord is your life, and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." Joshua 22:5 tells us, "But be very careful to keep the commandment and the law Moses, your servant, the servant of the Lord, gave you. To love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience with him, keep his commands, and hold fast to him as you serve him with all of your heart and with all of your soul." In Matthew's Gospel 6:24, we read these words, "No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." Then in Mark's Gospel, he tells us in 12:30, "Love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your mind and with all of your strength." And I wonder this morning, church, how many of us are actually doing that in our individually lives? Are we loving the Lord with all that we are? Are we putting him first in our lives? Are we giving him our best? Think back with me a moment, if you will, to the day, the time you accepted him as your personal Lord and Savior, if you've made that all-important decision. Do you remember the date, the place, the time? How about perhaps who may have been with you when you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior? You may have been in church, this church or another church. Could have been when you were in the youth group or even at a retreat. For me, it was when I was in Bible school back in 1999. I'll never forget it. Front row, old sanctuary on the left-hand side. That was over 20 years ago. But for many of you here this morning, you've been a Christian a lot longer than that, some over 50 years. But regardless if you have been a Christian 5 years or 50 years, can you look back over that span of time, ever how long or ever how short it's been, and see how you've moved forward in your personal walk with Jesus Christ? Can you look back and see how you have grown closer to him, moment by moment, day by day? Can you look back over that same period of time and seeing how you have been instrumental in his service, fathering his gospel, and doing your part to fulfill the great commission that we read about in Matthew 28:19? Full disclosure, none of us can turn back the time and alter what our walk with Jesus Christ has or has not been in the past. Nor can we make up for falling short in our service to him. But praise God, we can alter what this day forward will look like in our personal walk with Jesus Christ our service to His kingdom and His church. Amen. Church, we must keep our eyes focused on Jesus Christ at all times and ask Him to keep us focused on His will for our personal lives and His church. People of the world focus on overcoming, while Christians focus on what they are becoming in Him. Folks of the world focus on themselves, while Christians, or maybe I should say genuine, authentic Christians, focus on Jesus Christ and being like Him. That is to say, a true born-again believer in Jesus Christ not only has a head knowledge, but they have a heart knowledge of Him as well. Listen, folks, many people know who Jesus Christ is. They know that He was born of the Virgin Mary. They know He lived 33 years. They know He died and was crucified and rose on the third day. However, they've never allowed themselves to have a love relationship with Jesus Christ by allowing Him to dwell within their own heart and allowing the Holy Spirit to conform them or move them forward in the image of Jesus Christ, who created them and breathed life into them from day one. For the call of every Christian is to move onward and upward into the future that Jesus Christ has destined for them. You see, you and I can only move forward in Jesus Christ by living in the principles of His holy work. This book right here has everything we need to move forward and live the life that Christ has called us to live in Him. Christ Jesus alone is what keeps us going by His presence and His power indwelling within us. For Jeremiah 29:11 tells us, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and give you strength." And this is in essence what the Apostle Paul was writing to his friends at the church at Philippi in Philippians 3:12-14. And I will read beginning in verse 12 now. "Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward for those things which are ahead." Verse 14, "I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus." Paul was writing to the church at Philippi, the church for which he had literally shed his blood. And when the Apostle Paul began preaching in the city of Philippi, as recorded in Acts 16, he attracted both converts and critics. The critics seized him, stripped him, whipped him, to the point blood was beaten and running down his back. He and his fellow sufferer Silas were put in prison. Yet through it all, Paul maintained a mindset of moving forward, church. Paul was not satisfied where he was in Christ Jesus as it was. His love life with Christ Jesus was not what he wanted it to be. You see, Paul was an athlete with a spiritual vigor, if you will, pressing towards the finish line in his Christian race. That is to say, church, the Apostle Paul had a deep yearning to be more like Christ each and every moment of every day. Paul openly expressed the deepest longing of his heart and revealed his personal mission statement. The focus of moving his life forward day by day and becoming more and more like Jesus Christ. And as children of God, should that not be our mission as well, church? Most certainly it should be. And it can be if we make it our desire as Paul did and have the heart that Paul had. You see, Paul was just human, just like me and you. He was just common flesh and bone. But Paul acknowledged where he was in his spiritual journey. Paul said in verse 12, "Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on." Make no mistake about it, church, there was no denial with Paul. This is the statement of a great Christian who never permitted himself to be satisfied with his spiritual attainments. Paul was satisfied with Jesus Christ, but he was not satisfied with his Christian life. You know, a sanctified dissatisfaction is essential to making progress in the Christian race. Many Christians are self-satisfied simply because they compare their walk not with Jesus Christ, but to that of other Christians. And usually the other Christians that they compare their Christian pilgrimage with are those that are not making any progress or not moving forward in their Christian walk. Imagine what Paul's life would have been like if he had compared himself to others. He likely would have been tempted to be proud, arrogant, or perhaps been inclined to let up a bit, not to press forward as he did in his spiritual journey. But Paul didn't. Paul compared himself to Jesus Christ. Have you ever done that, church? Have you ever looked within and compared yourself to Jesus Christ and how he lived, the attributes to his life, and what he commands us to do with our life in his word? It's something to think about, is it not? How our life measures up to what it should be, what Jesus Christ calls it to be. Paul did not compare himself to others. He only compared himself to himself and where he was and compared himself to Jesus Christ. After all, there weren't too many believers in Paul's day who had experienced all that he had in his life. You see, Romans 8:29 tells us, "For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed into the image of his Son." That's God's ultimate purpose for every child of God. Not just you or me, but every child of God, that's God's will for our lives. And make no mistake about it, folks, every believer must devote him or herself to moving forward by running the Christian race. No athlete succeeds by doing everything. He or she excels or moves forward by specializing. Now, there are those few athletes who are proficient in more than one sport. I'm not saying that, but they are the exception. Winners fully concentrate. That is, they keep their eyes focused on the goal ahead of them and letting nothing distract them from the sidelines. The Apostle Paul goes on in verse 13 and tells us the one thing he did was forgetting what was behind him and reaching forward to those things which were ahead of him. And that's our key verse this morning in these three verses. Notice what Paul says. He forgets the past. Those things which are behind him, he forgets them. Paul not only forgot what was behind him before he became a Christian, he even forgot his Christian life up to this point. The progress that he had already made. He put it all behind him and moved forward. Paul makes it perfectly clear that he had absolutely no time to focus on the past. And therefore, he wholeheartedly devoted himself to moving forward in his walk with Jesus Christ. That's some good practical advice for us as well, is it not? Think about how much easier it would be to move forward if we would just forget our past, the things that hinder us from moving forward in our spiritual walk. Paul said he was reaching forward for those things which lied ahead of him. He was focused on what his life would become from this day forward. Paul likened himself to a runner on race day. He stretched himself forward for the goal that awaited him in Christ Jesus. And like Paul, we must leave our past in the past and fix our eyes on where God is leading us individually this day forward, church. The very last thing, listen, do not miss this. The very last thing we want to do in our personal walk with Jesus Christ is let what is behind us miss what is before us. Mark it down, church. If we allow what's behind us to miss what is before us, we will never, ever move forward in our walk with Christ in our spiritual journey. We must exercise every ounce of our faith in Christ Jesus, because faith alone is the very substance to moving forward. Hebrews 12 and 2 tells us we are to look to Jesus, the author and perfecter and finisher of our faith. Notice it didn't say we are to look and compare ourselves to other Christians, celebrities, the media, the government, but we are only to compare ourselves to Jesus Christ and Him alone. For 1 Corinthians 2 and 9 reminds us, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered those things into the heart of man which Christ Jesus has prepared for him and those that love him. The Apostle Paul experienced the depth of God's love for him. And there is absolutely, absolutely nothing that should hinder us as Christians from experiencing that love as well. Paul forgot those things which were behind him. To minimize the negativity and past failures and his past mistakes. Church, as Christians, we must stop allowing our past failures, our past mistakes, and our past shortcomings to control us in the present and hinder us from moving forward. Have you ever been on a ball field, a baseball field, or softball field, and got hit with the ball? It hurts, sometimes more than others. But what does the coach always say? Shake it off, shake it off. Paul shook off his past hurts. He didn't let it cling to him. And he didn't let it pull him down. He moved on. He moved forward. Most likely, every one of us sitting here today got here by way of an automobile. Now, you may have been in the driver's seat, or you may have been in the passenger seat. Nonetheless, the windshield in front of you was much larger than the rearview mirror or the sideview mirrors. So you could focus on what was ahead of you rather than what was following behind you. Paul was a great apostle who accomplished more in his lifetime than we could ever accomplish in 10 lifetimes. And in effect, he said, I have not arrived yet. I am not there. Now understand that Paul's epistles comprise only part of his ministry. I mean, Paul founded most of the churches in Asia Minor, and he was an intellectual giant. In fact, some consider Paul to be the greatest man ever lived apart from Jesus Christ. Yet, in the twilight of his life, Paul said, I am not there yet. I have not arrived. I have not apprehended the spiritual quality of life I want for myself. I'm not perfected. I'm going to continue to strive for that which God has called me. Notice the second part of verse 13, church. Paul says he is reaching forward to those things which lie ahead of him. Church, that's God's purpose for each and every one of us. It's the exact same, to move forward in our walk with him, becoming more and more like Jesus Christ every single day of our life. You see, each and every one of us was uniquely crafted by the hand of God. Each one of us has our own gifts and talents and distinguishing characteristics unique to us individually. Nonetheless, God created each one of us with a distinct blueprint for our life, all the way from the day we entered our mother's tomb to the day we die and are laid in the tomb, God has a plan tailor-made for each one of our lives, and it's unique to you and you alone. It's the perfect way God created you and the experiences you have endured in your life. No matter the level of effort we put forward in our own strength, we cannot change our past. Regardless of how tragedy it may have been or how glamorous your past may have been, everything you have endured up to this point in your life has prepared you to move forward in Christ Jesus. You have to walk hand in hand with Jesus Christ moment by moment, day by day into the unknown. It's simply a walk of faith to move forward in Christ Jesus. The psalmist tells us in Psalms 37 and 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his ways. Paul said in verse 14, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward calling in Christ Jesus. Paul found no time to relax, church. He had found something worth living for. And as Christians, we are called to live like Jesus Christ, so some glorious day we will be with him in eternity. Paul was in hot pursuit of Christ's likeness. The desire of Paul's heart was to become more and more like that of Jesus Christ. And come to think of it, church, wouldn't it be wonderful, wouldn't it be magnificent if Christians put as much time and determination into their spiritual life, their spiritual journey, their walk with Jesus Christ, as they did their hobbies, their recreational pursuits, and the time they spend on social media? Certainly we would see a radical change in our personal lives, and we would see a radical change in the life of the church. And our walk with Christ would be evident. There would be no question about it. For we read in John 15, 5, he who abides in Christ Jesus and Christ in him bears much fruit. For without Christ, we are absolutely nothing. We can do nothing, church, apart from Jesus Christ. Face the facts. We are absolutely nothing without Jesus Christ living within us. We just can't have a head knowledge, church. We have to have a heart knowledge, and he has to be living within our hearts. In Luke's gospel, the 9th chapter in verse 62, we read, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. And far too many Christians are shackled by regrets of their past. They try to move forward. They try to run the race of life by looking backward. And consequently, when they do this, they stumble and fall and get in the way of other Christians in their personal journey with Christ. The things which are behind us must be set aside, and the things which are before us must take their place. We have to live a life focused on Jesus Christ and him alone. For the Apostle Paul, the gold and the prize were one and the same. Though it's not specifically spelled out in these three verses of Philippians, I believe, church, it is a clear reference to those victorious words Jesus Christ said in Matthew 25, 21, well done, good and faithful servant. Is that not the words that each and every Christian wants to hear when they meet Jesus Christ face to face? Well done, good and faithful servant. The prize of the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus is eternal. Keeping our focus on our personal relationship with Jesus Christ is what keeps us moving forward. And make no mistake about it, folks, our spiritual transformation and developing the character of Jesus will take the rest of our lives, and even then, we will not reach it. It will not be complete until we are face to face with Jesus Christ in eternity. It will only be complete when we get to heaven or Jesus Christ returns. Listen, when God looks at us, when God looks at you, when God looks at me and evaluates our walk with Him, our faithfulness to Him, to His church, He wants to see us becoming more and more like Jesus Christ. So we are to follow Him ever so closely and emulate His life so Christ is evident in our lives. And as I prepare to close this morning, I don't know your story, church. I don't know your past. I don't know the weight that you brought to church with you this morning. And I certainly do not have the details of God's plan for your life or what God has in store for you in the future. However, I do know this, church, as you fully open the door of your heart to Jesus Christ and allow Him to take residence up there, He will guide you every step of the way from this day forward. So will you commit yourself to Him, to the Lord, to the best of your ability, step by step and day by day? What will this day forward look like for you as a child of God? That depends on you. What will this day forward look like for the body of Christ here at Tramway Baptist Church? Well, that depends on us. Will you pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word, Lord. We thank You, Father, for the blueprint You have for each one of our lives, Lord. And I pray, Father God, that You would draw us ever closer to You every morning, Lord, to have a deeper walk with You, Lord, and to continue to seek Your face day by day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to have an open invitation. Minor Reed's going to play an instrumental invitational hymn. But I invite you to come this morning. Perhaps you're here and you've never called on the name of the Lord. You have never asked Him to be your Savior. Today needs to be the day of salvation for you. Perhaps you're here and you feel like you drifted away from the Lord. Today is the perfect day for you to recommit your life to Him and make that step forward to moving forward day by day. Perhaps you feel the Lord's leading you to join our fellowship here at Tramway Baptist Church. We would love to have you join. I'll be down front. You come as the Lord leads. Our altar's open if you want to come kneel and pray. You come as the Lord leads. Let me close us in prayer and then Walter come and lead us in our benediction. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this glorious day that we've had in Your house, Lord. We just pray, Father, that the words we've heard and Your word has spoken to us, Lord, and will empower us and strengthen us as we go from this place, Lord, to be Your hands and feet and to spread Your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Travis. I'm going to tell you one thing. I'm sure there were some good messages delivered in Sanford today, but not as good as was delivered right here. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Let's give him a round of applause. Okay, if you will, let's stand and we'll sing Bind Us Together as our benediction, and we'll go out and have a good week. Bye.